you know, I can't speak for the actors because I'm not an actor. I don't know how the game is played. I've never auditioned, so I can't speak for what they go through. I'm sure a lot of them go through a lot, especially women. A lot of black women go through a heartache because, you know, as we know, there'll be more black males given the opportunity than black women. You know, for example, why is it that we still only have Halle Berry as the only actress, black actress, to win Best Actress?
Have you guys watched any of the films or television shows that are being nominated this award season? If not, we are going to catch you up today on Naked. Our guest is Wilson Morales.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the greatest in sports and entertainment.
entertainment connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment connected with us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new edition of Naked. Appreciate you all for being here. As you know, or maybe you don't know, but you will know now, it is award season in Hollywood. And that means you will see advertisements and perhaps different blurbs on social media about who won what award and what the award is. Most recently, we had the Golden Globes. Coming up is the Critics' Choice, the Emmys, which is, had been postponed from last year. It'll come up soon. The Oscars, the SAG Awards, even the Grammys, that's included in the award season. It's that time of year. At the top of year, it's that time of year. And Taraji P. Henson, another mention for Taraji. I mentioned her last week on the podcast, but she made headlines because she talked about why she was tired of being in this business and thought about maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. It's exhausting trying to prove your worth, ask for your worth. Today on the podcast, we have Wilson Morales. He is a film critic. He is an entertainment reporter, I would say. He has a vote for the Critics' Choice Awards, and he has a really good sense of how this works. He's been in the business for a very, very long time. Journalist, editor, film critic, founder of blackfilmandtv.com, career spanning over 25 years. He's made it his mission to promote films and projects and theater productions with an emphasis on Black stories and Black talent. After serving as the editor for blackfilm.com, he has launched his own website, blackfilmandtv.com. Again, you can go and check it out. He has some interesting insights. We have him on the show today. I get into the particulars of how, in fact, because I'm always curious, how, in fact, do they go about voting? How does an Oscar voter or that entire committee decide who wins the film? Who gets to vote? The same with all these other award shows. And it leads me to the bigger question of why are we hearing so often that the people who are marginalized are not being recognized for their talent? Most recently, Angela Bassett was given a honorary Oscar. We can give, or we can probably think of so many other instances where she deserved an Oscar. I think of What's Love Got to Do with It, where she played Tina Turner. Black Panther, the original, she was nominated for Black Panther 2, didn't win, but they gave her, they were like, enough is enough. This woman is an excellent actress and she has been overlooked. And so I'm curious, is that fair? Is that just happening to Black women? And the way in which Wilson explains it, he's not neutral, but he's very honest about how it works in Hollywood. It's a popularity contest. And it's extremely fascinating. And the biggest takeaway, and he kept saying this throughout the podcast, is that what about your team? Your team has to do the work. Sometimes talent can't do it all. Talent isn't enough, meaning I have to have, Carrie Champion has to have a good agent. She has to have somebody who's a good publicist. She has to have a good marketing team because I can't get out here and hustle all of these things myself. Someone has to put me out in the world and say, have you seen how dope this person is? Because we're all busy, right? You may not know how dope I am. And so I need to have a team behind me that helps. But not only do you have to have a team behind you that helps, and this is the part that I think was really not emphasized, you have to have a community. You have to have colleagues. You have to have peers. You have to have support that recognizes you, that sees you for what you are, that sees you for the talent that you are. I think it's probably hard for a lot of Black and brown actresses and actors to book these amazing roles because can you put seats in the theaters? You know, can you put butts in the theaters, if you will? Can you command a huge audience overseas? All of these things play into why someone like Taraji says she's exhausted. Wilson Morales on the podcast giving us his take on this coming award season. Hope you enjoy. Wilson, thank you so much for being here. This will air the day of the Emmys. People will listen to it maybe the day after or the day of. And for some of our listeners, they are not necessarily up on all the shows. Some of us don't have the time. There's so much content out there, too, if I'm being honest with you. And it's hard to catch everything that people are watching and how these shows really break through. I do believe this year's Emmys, the 75th annual Emmys Award show, will be hosted by Anthony Anderson. We are coming off the Golden Globes, which I thought was a snooze fest in all the wrong ways. What should we expect for this year's Emmys?
You know, it's interesting. This is the first time it's going to happen in January. The Emmys was postponed from its September showing because of the strike. You know, and, you know, you had the writer's strike going on, you had the actor's strike going on, so you wanted to wait it out. The time period, I believe, for anything to be eligible was up until middle of May, you know, and then they voted in June. And then, so the votes were in by August, you know, so Emmys were announced in June and the votes were in by August. So already, winners have already been determined. We just don't know who it is.
That's interesting. Okay, so the winners have already been determined. So no matter what, there was no campaigning after that. Why? I am curious, and I mean, it's pretty obvious, but I know the writers, there was a SAG strike, right? Why could they not air the awards? Because
there was a strike going on, and when there's a strike, and whenever you have, obviously, an award show, whoever's the host, they're going by what's written. You have no writers in place. You have actors in place.
So no one's
going to show up in support of any sort of network event because of the strike.
Okay. Because you can't cross the picket lines, if you will. Okay. So here we are. The decision was already made in August who would win. What shows typically, if you look at all the shows, what shows are pretty popular going into it? What front runners in terms of the popular guest shows that have been nominated?
The biggest front runners are Succession, you know, The Succession, The Last of Us, The White Lotus, The Bear, Abbott Elementary. What am I missing? I'm thinking there's one more it would be. But those are the big front runners between Succession and then there's Last of Us, because just what you saw at the Golden Globes, you may have some repeat performances.
Okay. Now, I am curious about award season. Award season traditionally starts with what award show and then runs until March and wraps up with the Oscars. So what's the first award show and then it wraps up at Oscars?
Well, remember, as we mentioned, you know, Emmy should have taken place in September. Now you have coming up, just coming, you know, by the time this airs, the Golden Globes aired last week. You have the Critics' Choice Awards. The Critics' Choice Awards airing the day before the Emmys, which is why the Emmys was pushed to a Monday on MLK Day.
Oh, I didn't know that. We all had to get in line. The strike threw everybody off. Okay, great. And then what happens after Critics? Okay, so we have Critics' Choice. We already had Globes, Critics' Choice, Emmys, SAG Awards. Then what?
So, yes, you have the Critics' Choice, which airs on Sunday. Then you have the SAG Awards, which is going to air, on Netflix sometime in, I believe, late January or February. Then you have the Oscars. The Oscar nominations are going to be announced on the morning of the 23rd. So right now, everybody's a contender. Even though you may have won a Golden Globe or you may win a Critics' Choice, you know, everybody's still in play until, you know, the names are announced officially on the morning of the 23rd.
Okay. Award season is interesting to me because there's awards for television shows and then there are the awards for the movies. The Oscar, I presume, is the creme de la creme. Talk to me about the hierarchy of how these award shows go in terms of importance.
In terms of importance, it's more or less like visibility, especially nowadays, because now that we're in the realm of streamers and not everybody going to the movie theaters. You know, as you mentioned earlier, there's so much content out there. You know, so to be the bottom or the final five, it's important for anybody's career, you know, mm-hmm. because that gives them a boost up. If you're an actor who mostly does movies, this hopefully gives you a nomination, gives you visibility worldwide, and hopefully gets you the next job, gets you better structure in terms of, like, do you get seen as a lead or supporting? You know, you'd like to think that it's going to set you up for at least a few years, you'd like to think. But I always think it's all about your team. You know, lately we've been hearing about people talking about how, you know, the lack of resources that they've been getting. You know, but I believe it's part of your team. The talent can't do everything. You know, so you got to know who your team is. You know, you can't, you know, you have to find that Jerry Maguire and to know what your worth is to go out there and fight for you. Now, you could be a great, it's like, it's almost like a singer. You know, you could be a great singer, but if you're not with the right label, no one's going to hear your music.
You're right about that. Okay, so I want to know, if I am in this world and I'm an actor, I'm a talent, if you will, do I want a Globe? Do I want an Emmy? Is Oscars obviously is the top choice, but where do you go in terms of I'm really someone special? Is the Emmy the least important and the Oscar the most important? Is it the SAG Award? What? How does that go?
They each are equally important. I would say, obviously, Oscars are, you know, because I've covered more film than TV for years, I would say Oscars was a lot more important because there's not as many categories as there are TV. And there are more people watching. There are more people watching a movie when you win an Oscar. You'll know who won an Oscar as opposed to who won an Emmy. Sometimes when it comes to Emmys, you get a lot of repeaters. You know, like you've had Candace Bergen back in the day win five in a row. You got Helen Hunt win five in a row. You got Julia Louis-Dreyfus win five in a row. That is not the case with the Oscars. You know, it's rare to have back-to-back winning performances. You know, now remember with the Emmy, you can win over and over again for playing the same role. That doesn't happen with the Oscars. So okay. I would say Oscars are more important because you're being rewarded for one role at one particular project, as opposed to, like, you know, you look at a show like Succession, you know, they won, I think, the previous year, this is their final year. It, you know, it's been assumed that they're going to clean up.
This makes sense because the Oscars, if we talk in award shows in terms of importance, the Oscars is the Super Bowl. It is the NBA championship. If I was in my world, you can't win back. It's hard to win back to back. You can do it more so if you have a dominant team, but it's hard, especially with the Super Bowl. It's hard to win back to back Super Bowls. So just, I don't even know if it's happened. Probably has, and I haven't done the research on it, but it is.
The Patriots were the last ones.
Yeah, that no one hasn't done it since then. You're right. It was the Patriots. Rest in peace, Bill Belichick, in terms of your job. So I am curious if we can then talk about the Oscars, if we can stay there as we wrap up these shows. There was a campaign, and I believe that you remember this campaign very well, Oscar So White, led by what I thought was Jada Pinkett at the time. And there was a real concern about the Oscars not addressing the melanin, if you will, the Black folks not getting their just due. We just saw recently that Angela Bassett won an Oscar at the Governor's Award. They gave her, what did they call that Oscar that they gave her?
Yeah, she didn't win. She was given an honorary Oscar.
An honorary Oscar. Yeah, finally.
Winning means competition. You know, there was no competition. They decided, okay, she's paid her dues. We're going to give it to her. And I understand. No shade, but it's a little bit better when you win in competition as opposed to when they give it to you.
Okay.
Because Tyler Perry has an honorary Oscar. You know, so like no one's going to say Oscar winner. You know, she's an Oscar, you know, recipient.
How do you feel about the Oscars covering these award shows specifically for Black people? How do you feel about the Oscars and their reputation? Have they gotten better?
Yes and no. You know, they've always every year tried to make strides by adding more people to who can vote, people of color. You know, so that way, you know, but I think there's so many people who vote, and I don't ever believe it's going to be 50-50. You know, because you've had a history of a lot of older people that's still in there, you know, so you're just going to have to hope that there's enough of a factor as well as performance that they can stand out. You know, in terms of looking this year, you know, we don't know who's going to get nominated, but looking pretty good to get a nomination are Coma Domingo and Jeffrey Wright for Rustin and American Fiction, respectively. And then you have Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, as well as Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. So, like, they're looking good to get nominated. Winning's a whole different story, you know, because there's a certain amount of people in the branch. You got to get through your branch. You know,
what does that mean?
Branch means every department has a certain number of voters. So SAG is a big body of actors, but there's only a small percentage of them who are Oscar voters. You know, so let's say, for example, in the acting categories, there's 1,300 voters. And so when you're voting for the Oscar, everybody gets one vote. You know, so you're hoping that you can get, you know, let's say somebody like Lily Gladstone is a front runner. You know, she may end up getting 700 votes, which means there are 600 votes out there left. You know,
but
you
she just won it all. But she won if she got 700, right?
No, no, no. That is just to get nominated.
Oh, okay.
That is just to get nominated. So you want to have enough
votes.
Wait,
I have a question. I'm sorry. It takes 13 people.
It's 1,300
voters to decide if you're nominated.
Yes. And so they I believe they played the numbers game, meaning like, okay, who got as many votes? The top five vote getters are the ones that are going to get nominated.
And then from there, how do they decide?
Then once you're on the ballot, then it goes to everybody, meaning that everybody who's an Oscar voter, from costume designers to directors to writers, they all get to vote in the big one.
How many people is that approximately?
8,000. Now, I won't say 8,000, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
So voting started today. Voting started today from the 11th of January to the 16th.
So 8,000 people, after you get to the nominees, which will be announced on the 23rd, 8,000 then people who are part of this particular society. What do you call this society? Oscar voters, right?
Yeah.
So 8,000 Oscar voters get to weigh in on whether or not Danielle Brooks of The Color Purple deserves to receive Best Supporting Actress, or 8,000 people can determine if American Fiction is the Cora Jefferson gets nominated for Best Director of a feature film. He's already nominated for a SAG Award. We saw that.
Cora Jefferson, just to correct you, Cora Jefferson's a director. He was not nominated.
He wasn't nominated for a SAG Award?
SAG is only actors. SAG is only Actors Guild.
He got a DGA.
He got a DGA nomination for first time feature, not the main category.
But first time feature is what he won. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. And that's great, though. That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. It's a leg up. You know, like, he's never directed a movie, never did a short, never did a documentary, never did a music video. So wow. I believe it'll be hard for him to get a director's nomination on your first go, your first one.
Wow.
You know, there are some old guard out there that's going to be like, he got to pay his dues a little bit. Let me see what you can do on your next one.
Oh, okay. Okay. So by way of background, so now we're going to get into specifics for the folks at home. I needed to set the table so I could understand what we're talking about. So American Fiction is one of the films, especially in the culture, that people are talking about. It's with the great Jeffrey Wright. Issa Rae is in it. Tracy Ellis Ross is in it. Erica Alexander. I'm like, what a beautiful ensemble. And Sterling K. Brown. I mean, I saw it and I just absolutely loved it. But I know Cord because I know him through the come ups. He was a journalist at the Gawker before it now defunct Gawker. So I was really curious how he was able to get a feature film with such a beautiful ensemble cast put together so quickly. And in my mind, I'm like, is he about to get an Oscar? But you're saying it's going to be hard for him to even get nominated because he has some, there are those who protect the, you know, who have the keys to the gate, if you will. And they'll say, hey, you haven't paid enough dues to let you inside of this club yet. Because to your point, he's never done a music video. He's never directed.
To be fair, I'm sure he's not the first one. Obviously, you know, you look at Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele got nominated for Best Director for Get Out. But the difference was, you know, Get Out was such a juggernaut of a film that was made for $4 million and grossed over $200 million.
Yikes.
So you cannot deny, you know, what it did. So, and you look at Barbie, you know, like last year you had no female directors who got nominated. And when you look this year, Greta Gerwig, who directed Barbie, and it made $1 billion in 17 days in the midst of a strike.
Wait, would it be, right? That's a billion with a B. How many dollars is that? Oh, it's a billion. Okay, got it.
Yeah, in the midst of a strike when you don't have the actors promoting it.
Crazy.
You know,
crazy.
So like they're looking to get a slew of nominations.
You guys know what time it is. We have to pay bills. You can fast forward through all of the commercials. Could be a good 2-3 minutes, but I have to get these bills paid. Otherwise, I can't do what I do. Back in a moment.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected.
Hey everybody, it is award season, or is it awards season with an S? I think it's awards season. I'm gonna go with that. And we have a film critic, a journalist, someone who I truly enjoy. It's an education today. Wilson Morales on Naked. Okay, so I will say this, while I am for all of us and hoping that the culture, I love Barbie. I loved its message. I love the marketing. I had never seen marketing like that before. I didn't even understand what was happening. They were sending Barbies to anybody who needed a Barbie. They sent me a Barbie. I was reporter Barbie. It was so popular that to me, I was like, I'm not going to watch it. But everyone I talked to went to see it, Wilson.
It made it an event. You know, I think that
was an event.
You look at last year's Tom Cruise with Top Gun, and then you look at what Barbie did. You know, I think the message when you see movies like this is that, like, it was the movie that in the middle of this strike that saved theaters because people are going out there in droves. People are buying pink, wearing pink, you know, singing them songs from Dua Lipa and Mark Ronson.
Billy got one in there,
you know, so like, and you had a diverse cast, you know, from, you know, obviously Margot Robbie to Issa Rae, you know, so like to Simu Liu, you know, you had a diverse cast in it. And so it spoke a lot to a lot of people. Whether it goes all the way, you know, we'll see, you know, it's going to be up against Oppenheimer. And once again, should both get nominated, you're going to get another Barbenheimer repeat.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about the Oscars. We talked about there were other films that people are saying that are popular. And I feel this. This is, I'm going to step out of the realm a bit. I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio and whatever project that he and Martin Scorsese are always a part of automatically gets nominated just because of who they are, whether you like the picture or not. I saw Killers of the New Moon? Killers of the Flower Moon. It was 3 hours, 700 minutes, and 27,000 seconds. And in my mind, I was like, this is ridiculous. I am a moviegoer. I love the movies. I don't have 3 hours and 27 minutes to watch a film. And in my mind,
38.
38. Let me add all the minutes. 3 hours and 38 minutes. Why would a film like that be so revered? Is it because it is that great, or is it because it's Martin Scorsese and the
Because it's Martin Scorsese. Here's the thing. I think when you have guys who've been in the game for a long period of time and are so revered, like a Martin Scorsese or a Steven Spielberg, automatically they jump to the front of the line as far as who can possibly get nominated just because of their body of work. That doesn't mean it's going to be great. A couple of years ago, Martin Scorsese had The Irishman, got a slew of nominations because it was the return of De Niro and Pesci and, you know, Harvey Keitel. But yet, you know, it didn't win the big one. So Killers, you know, you have Leo and Robert in there, but obviously the one who's been racking up wins has been the female lead, Lily Gladstone.
Amazing.
And Leo didn't even get a SAG nomination.
Can I say something? She made me want to watch the film. I believed her. I felt like she was straight. I believed everything about her character, and it was the only reason I stopped fast forwarding, because I streamed it and I was fast forwarding because I was like, I don't need all of this. I want to, and I know people think that's blasphemy, but I wonder if the Oscars and people like Martin Scorsese play to a very small audience and then they force that on the mainstream audience. I liken it to how we are covering the Middle East. There are wars in Sudan. There are wars in the Congo. There are wars all over. But we only really know about one mainstream war because the media, myself included, because I'm a part of the media, if you will, are only covering a war that they feel has interest. Do you feel like the Oscars is a very selected community of people and the films are made for just a small group of people as opposed to the masses?
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's more or less... you know, there are going to be big films and there are going to be small films, you know, which is the beauty of having now 10 films have to be nominated. Before, it used to be you can nominate up to 10 films. Now it's guaranteed 10 films, which is great because you want to reward some films that, like, just to say they had a great year, you know, so like just to be, you know, top 10. And so that way everybody has a fighting chance. And this, the reason it happened that way is because when A Dark Knight came out, and that was the year Heath Ledger died, it was such a popular film.
It was.
And whoever the voters were then didn't think, oh, this is too much of a commercial movie. it's not as small as we want it to be. And they didn't nominate it, and there was an uproar like, you should have nominated this. And so they made it a point to go up to 10. So that way you can nominate these movies that have been so well done, and because they made so much money, because of the people. Because you've had films out there that have made no money, but have been critically acclaimed.
Yeah, they had an issue last year. Some lady was nominated, and it was because they threw a party for her. She was on the inside. Remember? What was her name?
Here's the thing. Andrea Riseborough got nominated for a film called For Leslie. It's a very, very small film. She's actually quite good in it, but the distributor and the team didn't have the campaign money for her. So they went the old conventional route and say, okay, we don't have money to throw receptions or billboards or anything like that. We'll just get the people we know, as high as they are, you know, this is my opinion, to tweet, you know. And she had people famous people tweeting, this is a great performance, you should check it out, you should check it out. And some of the people that follow these famous people are other Oscar voters and winners. So when you get someone like a Jane Fonda saying, oh, she was amazing, who's following Jane Fonda? Her colleagues, some of her colleagues are winners and voters.
Yeah.
You know, that's a leg up, you know. Yeah. At the end of the day, yeah, you know, if you get an endorsement from Barack, you're like, okay, you know, yeah, the bigger the endorsement.
It sounds like a popularity contest. It sounds like who has the most followers on Instagram. I mean, I'm giving the Hollywood
that's
version.
And that's it worked out on her case because they had no money to be showcased anywhere else. Most of the times throughout this whole time, you know, if you follow some of these actors, they've been flying back and forth between New York and L.A., going to these events, you know, kissing the babies, as you may, because that's where the majority of the voters are, you know. And sometimes, you know, you got to remember that, like, everybody, those who are voters get to see it at home. If you're not a regular movie lover or movie watcher, you don't have time to be sitting through 30 movies. You still have a life, you know, but you don't mind if you're being invited to go see a movie and then go to a reception afterwards, mm-hmm, and meet the talent, you know, because you're inside closed quarters to get your opinion, as opposed to when you're home and like you're watching Killers of the Flower Moon, you're like, let me pause this. Somebody calls you, you know, let me get back to this movie. I don't know how many people are disciplined to just watch a movie as it is at home without any distractions.
Yeah, and the movie, again, is 3 hours and how many minutes? 38 minutes?
Well, you got Oppenheimer, which is 3 hours.
I just feel like in this day and age, there should be a limit on how long we have to sit and watch. That's just me. Because sometimes I really, truly, and you just said as much, these films are made for certain people. They're not really made for the masses. They're made for, Martin is doing it because it's the passion project. And the people who respect him are watching it because they respect him. And I don't necessarily know if that's what an Oscar should be awarded for. Meaning, I thought it was supposed to be for entertainment.
Look at a movie like The Green Book. And you have your naysayers. But to a lot of people, it was an entertaining film. If you don't follow social media and you're not hearing about like whose story was being told or yada, yada, and you just watch that movie as it is, it's an entertaining film, which is why it won Best Picture. You know, so a lot of times, you know, you get the politics that play out because of, you know, who directed it, who's in it and so forth. And then you have movies that like do well, like a movie like Coda, which won 2 years ago. And you had a cast of unknowns with the exception of Marley Matlin, but today's generation may not know who she is. And you had a guy, Eugenio Derbez, who's a big Mexican star, but not a lot of people watch his movies. And you had a heartfelt story about a woman, about a young lady who's trying to get by and trying to support her family because she's the only one that can hear, and the family is deaf. And are you telling me
that, yes, some of it's not fair, but it's getting better because there are outliers. There are exceptions to the rules as of late. Sometimes they get it right and it is just entertainment.
Yeah, sometimes they get it right because you have a movie like Parasite that won a few years ago, foreign film, but it was the people's favorite, you know, and every year you're going to have a favorite. Like last year, you look at The Fabelmans, which was directed by Steven Spielberg, and you had everything all at once. And conventional wisdom would say, oh, Spielberg, he's going to win. And they were winning up to a certain point. When you get down to like the SAG and stuff like that, and it's everything all at once when that's because they have the popular vote, which is why it won. You think about last year, Jamie Lee Curtis beating Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett and Jamie Lee Curtis are both nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Angela Bassett was nominated for Black Panther 2. Jamie was in everything all at once. So when you're nominated for Best Picture, if you're nominated in any other category, it helps you out if your film is nominated for Best Picture, because a lot more people will see those as opposed to an individual. You know, like if you're nominated for like Best Sound and it's the only film's nomination, you're not looking, you know, like you may get the votes from those in that department, but everybody, because everybody can vote, they're not really going to pay attention so much to it. You know, okay, they're going to pay attention to the ones who are nominated for Best Picture.
So, in your opinion, has the Oscars become more mainstream instead of the exclusive club that it used to be?
They tried to, which is why they went up to 10 films. So that way there's hopefully a balance of movies. When you get a movie like Oppenheimer, it's nearly made $1 billion. Barbie's made $1 billion. That is as mainstream as you can get, because that's the people going to the theaters. You know, if you get The Holdovers, that's a smaller film. If you get The Color Purple, you know, it did good numbers on Christmas Day. We still have to wait to see. Maybe it's if it gets an Oscar nomination for Best Picture, maybe people will go back to see it. You know, so there are movies that are coming out. They came so late in the year. They haven't been as successful as the ones that came out during the summer.
Okay. I want to also point out, you talked about people who are the Oscar voters. A lot of them feel like they are more learned and understand what entertainment or films should be looking like and feel like. I feel like there's an eliteness that is there. It's inherent and you feel it. There is also, back to the popularity of it all, are there certain actors who just can't get on the good side, if you will? Leo's been nominated, never won, right? Has he? No, he won. He won for The Bear. He won for The Bear, right?
He won for the Revenant.
The Revenant, where he was beating up the bear. Look at me just saying, tell me, what was that movie and what did he win for that? Did he win Best Actor?
Yeah, he won Best Actor. Leo been nominated several times. He could never get over the hump. And then It's him. And he makes a film with pretty much 90% of the movie is just him. And a bear at one point, and I'm like, yo, he can't win for that.
It was like, it was just him. I was like, was the movie called The Bear? Was it about the goddamn bear? Okay, so it was just Leo, and he finally won. How long did it take for Leo to win? How long did it take for him to win?
It took over a decade. Brad Pitt won for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You know, it's sort of like you have those favorites out there that have yet to win, you know, and it took Martin Scorsese over 20 years to finally win Best Director. It doesn't always happen for everyone. Look how long it took Spike Lee just to get in the game, get in the race. He finally won one for screenplay. You know, we still would like for him to win a Best Director, but he won one for co-writing Black Klansman. You know, like, all right, at that point, you're like, it's Spike Lee. Let's give it to him. There are always going to be those who've been in the game long enough that you want a reward now.
So this is good to know. The more I'm talking to you, the more I'm feeling like it's just a high society, and they are very particular about who they like. Now, the Academy seems to really love Meryl Streep, and I am in agreement. They love some Meryl. Why are some more loved than others?
You know, Meryl is the epitome of greatness. She's done a lot of movies. She's been like that one person that you can count on that doesn't have baggage. You know, so, you know, Meryl's just all for the work.
What do you mean? Not baggage. What do you mean?
You know, what I mean by baggage, you're like, you have other good actors, but you never know, you know. Meryl's a tweener, meaning that she's an A-list star, but she's not bringing in everybody. You know, she's not a blockbuster A actress in terms of like, she's not going to fill seats right away, but she's going to give you a great performance. And so like, you know, people always sometimes want to rely on the performance as opposed to like, who's going to fill seats at, you know, at the box office. And so Meryl's been nominated, you know, as they pointed out last week, 34 times at the Golden Globes. She hasn't won that many. And you got to remember, even though she was nominated, she's been nominated more times than anybody at the Oscars. It was only won three times. She went a good 10, 15 years straight, you know, without winning. You know, she finally won for The Iron Lady. And I think it was more or less like the marketing on that one was like, you got to give it to her this time. You're not selling her talent. You're not selling the film. You're selling the fact that, like, we can't have her be Susan Lucci in the film world.
Don't do my girl Meryl like that after Devil's Wear Prada. You know, that was my most mainstream. You can't do her like that. No, not a question. Okay, I want to know, even though it is a club, a popularity contest, do you feel that way about the Globes and the SAG Awards and the Critics' Choice Awards? Do those feel more even to you in terms of it is truly about what is good and what is popular?
The Golden Globes were always they were always going for the popular. They know they're on TV. Obviously, last week, I wouldn't say it's a return to form. Remember, they were kind of banished for a year because, you know, the world finally found out they had nobody black in their committee, you know, and so they've made a lot of changes to add more people to override whoever the old guard is that's still there. And and they still want to invite somebody very popular to bring them out there because they know they're on TV, you know, without the TV coverage, I don't know how far the Golden Globes go, you know? So like when you make up a new category for best box office achievement and you throw in Taylor Swift in there, that's because you just want her there. Even she doesn't have to wait. We just want her there.
We just need her there.
We just want her there. Ratings, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, The Critics' Choice, which I'm a member of, okay. I'd like to think that we're a bit different because, you know, the amount of people that vote in the Critics' Choice is wide and we're all over the country. So there's no way of telling, you know, if it's a popular vote. You know, everybody's going to vote differently. You never know if somebody's thinking like, oh, everybody's going to vote for Oppenheimer. Let me give my vote to somebody else. You know, sometimes people think that way as well. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is she breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it, y'all. A champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
So you're on your, you vote for the Critics' Choice. Like you watch all the films and you have to decide who is winning or nominated. You're just one of the voters,
votes,
right?
You know, we throw in our votes to see if our votes can matter, to say, you know, it's still the numbers game. Like, okay, how many people voted for so-and-so to get nominated? And then once you got the final six, then we vote one person. Now the question is, of that six, who got the majority of votes?
Mm-hmm. What does that matter? Who got the majority of votes? Does that determine the winner?
That determines the winner, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not... you're talking, okay, so nominations for the Critics' Choice Awards, are they similar to how you explain the nominations for Oscars?
Yes, because, you know, it's still the numbers game. Like, okay, it's 8,000 people voting. Who's voting for so-and-so? You know, and you know, obviously, you know, whenever you watch the Oscars or some of these awards, they tell you, oh, the votes were tabulated by such and such accounting firm. You know, like, let somebody else do the work.
Yeah.
You know, let somebody else do the work. We don't want anybody. We don't want to touch it. Let somebody independent count the votes.
Yeah. What about for... Is the SAG Awards are your peers voting for you, correct?
Yes. No? Yes. The SAG Awards is a big block of voters. So yesterday's, or actually more recently, the announcement that was made for the SAG Awards, you know, you had some of those who were predicted to get nominated. And then there's always one or two different, like Sterling K. Brown being mentioned. That was a big boost for him, which, you know, he's halfway to an Oscar nomination, you know. But it's not the end all be all, because there was a period when Regina King, I don't remember which one, she didn't get nominated for either Globe or SAG, and she still got the Oscar nomination and won.
What was it that she won for? What was the Oscar?
She won the Oscar for Barry Jenkins, If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she won the Best Supporting Actress for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's Regina King. So a lot of it is more or less like there's the performance, and then it's Regina King, who had previously won 4 Emmys.
She's excellent. She's excellent. This is so fascinating to me. If you were to able to describe in layman's terms what award season what awards season means for these actors and these directors and obviously creative Emmys. I saw that Kiki Palmer won one just recently for best game show host, I believe. And it hadn't been done in 15 years. And that's a huge achievement for her, I'm assuming. These awards, I would presume, set your career in a different trajectory, and you are forever Oscar nominated or Oscar winning. That's your name. Those are the two words before your name. I often see that when I see commercials or I see a project that they're in. But I remember Viola Davis saying after she did The Help and she had all these nominations and awards, and I don't know if she won for The Help. I forget. Did she win for The Help?
No, she won for Fences. Best Supporting Actress for Fences.
She said she still couldn't get any work. I would presume that would put you in a different trajectory. I read her book and she said that How to Get Away with Murder was the only thing that allowed her to show herself in a different way. It was a television show that she got from Shonda.
And she won the Emmy for that, being the first Black actress to win in a drama role.
So my question is, what is the point of winning it if you can't find any work? Halle Berry said the same.
Well, you know, it goes back to what I say. Now, granted, I think it's a little bit different when you're a person of color. You know, we get, you know, like, you can talk to a lot of people who've won. Louis Gossett Jr., I think he's talked about how, you know, eating, it wasn't like the phones were ringing and so forth. But I always feel like, you know, one, it's not easy. Two, who's representing you? You know, who's representing you?
The team.
Like I said, because you're the talent. You know, at the end of the day, you know, when you hear these athletes making such and such money, the talent got them there, but it's somebody negotiating the deal to get them as much as they deserve. You know, so it's all about, like, you know, even more recently, you know, you're hearing Taraji talk about, like, what's going on, yada, yada. But I'm like, okay, it's easier said than done. I'm not saying, it, you know, like, that they're wrong. But I'm like, okay, which is part of your team? Like, okay, you know, what's the, you know, what is being offered, you know? And sometimes, you know, some people could be in a position where they can't say no because they need work. Everybody wants
to
work.
I need the money. I got to live.
At the end of the day, you know, you think people, you could be a known actor and realize, you know, I've seen actors like, dude, although you see me, keep in mind, I shot that movie a year or two ago, you know, the money's gone, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I got a lot. You know, I'm looking for the next job. You know, it's like, you know, you got to continue to work. Sometimes you see actors always, sometimes better off if you're a supporting actor because you get, I think, more offers to be at work, to get work, as opposed to when you're a leading actor, you're responsible to lead and deliver.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
this is so fascinating. It's such a fascinating world, this Hollywood business that I know very little about. It's so different from the world in which I live. When you think about equity and you hear about what Taraji says, what really resonated with me, with her specifically, was that she said every time she breaks one other barrier or one other glass ceiling, she gets into a new room and she still has to say, here's my resume. And I wonder, is it because of her team or is it because there's a real problem in Hollywood and they do not respect Black talent the way they do other talent?
I think it goes both ways. You know, I can't say it's only happening to Black talent. I think it's sometimes, and listen, if you're a white talent, it's much more harder because, you know, sometimes they can look at you and say, you're a dime a dozen. You know, correct. We can find any cute blonde, you know, it's like, I did, but at the same time, they're getting the opportunity to be in the room. And that's the problem. So it's like what Viola said, listen, we wouldn't have this if we were given the opportunity, you know, so don't just, you know, bring me in because you need a Black actor, you know, bring me in because you need talent and, you know, put my name on a list. Let me show you what I can do, you know, and sometimes, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, certain actors are still auditioning, even if they won awards, because they still have to be the right fit. You know, we don't always hear a lot of stories about who lost what job and so forth, because sometimes it's a question of the right fit. Sometimes you'll hear about it afterwards when an actor says, oh, I didn't get this role. Oh, I turned down that role, you know, because they're more comfortable now saying it.
Well, let's be more specific, because I think I'm not asking the question correctly. The layman is looking at what Taraji has done. Benjamin Button's Hustle and Flow. What was the other one that she was in? Oh, her work on television, right? Empire. there was another, a baby boy, even if we go back to a ghetto black classic, by the way, you know, I think of the work that she's done. And hands down, I think she's an extreme talent. And she said that the first time she ever got a real quote, it's never changed. Is that normal for an actor of her stature? She was opposite Brad Pitt and Benjamin Buttons.
Here's what I want to clarify.
Okay, help me.
She did Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt, but the co-star of that was Kate Blanchett.
So
it wasn't just Brad Pitt and Taraji. You know,
I forgot all about Kate, if I'm honest with you.
It was Brad Pitt and Kate Blanchett. It's Taraji got the supporting actress nomination because she did a good job. You know, so that's when you get that Oscar nomination, now you have to talk to your team and be like, okay, where do we go from here? You know, what can you get me? Can't just, you know, closed mouths can't be fed. You know, either you have to go for it and, you know, like, or talk to your team and say, what is being offered to you? You know, what, you know, show me something that gives me range, you know, as opposed to me playing something that everybody assumes I'm going to do. You know, so I can't speak for the actors because I'm not an actor. I don't know how the game is played. I've never auditioned, so I can't speak for what they go through. I'm sure a lot of them go through a lot, especially women. A lot of black women go through a heartache because, you know, as we know, there'll be more black males given the opportunity than black women. You know, for example, why is it that we still only have Halle Berry as the only actress, black actress, to win Best Actress?
I literally ask myself that question. And then whenever I hear people talk about projects or projects they want to do, they always go to, she's the go-to of who you want to play a role. And I'm all like, well, is that, there's so many more. So how do you, in your opinion, address that in Hollywood? Can it be fixed? Will it ever change?
It can be fixed if you have the people above you believing you. You know, look at this little.
How does that happen?
You've got to find, you know, it's got to be somebody that's, you know, look, for example, Lily Gladstone. Never heard of her prior to this year. You know, I'm sure I've heard of her in passing.
Martin Scorsese film.
Yeah, no, but right? What I'm trying to say is prior to this Martin Scorsese film, if you ask 10 people who she is, they would tell you we don't know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, a woman of minority and indigenous, you know, Native American. And she, because she's in a Martin Scorsese film, because he's of high status, look at the visibility she's getting, you know? So it goes to like, okay, you can either have to have somebody big enough to put you in that position, or you got to go to them. It's like, listen, you know, you have anything I can be a part of that, like, I can stand out in? A film like, for example, The Holdovers with Davine Joy Randolph. Alexander Payne is a two-time Oscar winner, I believe, and people like his movies. You know, going way back to when he did Election with Reese Witherspoon and some other films. The fact that she was in his movie, people had her on the list of possibly getting a nomination going back to last January simply because she's in his movie. Sight unseen.
Okay, but I don't know. I'm asking. Even if you go, I have a hard time believing that these black actresses aren't knocking on doors and asking to be in films. The question is how in this town, Hollywood, can we be seen and heard as a black actress? Outside of asking, I don't think they're sitting there and waiting.
I
have a hard time believing black actresses are like, I'm not going to ask.
Black actresses fare well when they do TV. You know, we obviously you look to see what Viola did, what Kerry Washington did, what Issa did. You know, with the exception of Issa, Kerry and Viola had a long career in the film business, but it wasn't until they did TV where they got a bigger status. You know. More visibility. They were able to, you know, to do well with the roles they were given on TV. With films are different. You know, like, I think, you know, it's a matter of you can have a great role, but you still need people to see it. You know, so there's a lot of factors in there. You can have a great role. Doesn't matter who directed it. You look at, you know, you go back to Get Out. That was a small film, $4 million budget. You know, no one knew who Daniel Kaluuya was. You know, Jordan Peele was like, oh, this is the guy from the Comedy Central show, whatever. No one, but the story was great. And the rumor started about how good this movie was, that, you know, and then people went to go see it and they became names afterwards. So when it comes to Black actresses, it's like, okay, you can still get that project. Now, let's start off with the critics, you know, where we say this is a great performance. Hopefully you guys can go see it. And then if people go see it now, let's keep the marketing going. It's a machine that keeps going. It's got to keep going to the point where you're highly recognized. And there's a timetable. You're better off coming out with a film in the fall where you can be in the running, a contender for an Oscar, than when you're coming out earlier in the year. Because when you're coming out in the fall, you get free publicity because your movie is still in theaters.
I wish there was a playbook that explained this, because I'm not educated enough to tell you that. I'm pretty sure there are, and I'm not even speaking just about Black actresses, but marginalized, since we talked about Taraji, there are marginalized actresses who I believe will probably say, I did all the things. I still was never seen or heard as.
Look at last year, Michelle Yao. She won first Asian actress to win Best Actress. You know, she definitely.
Because the film was nominated, though, right?
Yeah, but you know, but it was nominated because it did very well and a lot, and the people saw it. Look at Ki-Hoo Kwan, who won with her. You know, this is the kid from Indiana Jones from 30 years ago.
So great.
And he was telling her, he couldn't get jobs. I saw him at a show one time and he was like,
sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't.
They thought he was the waiter.
Yeah.
He goes to his own award show and they thought he was the waiter.
It's tough, you know? Ass, man. Tough town.
It's a tough part out there, you know. Yeah. And you can't give up, because at the end of the day, you don't get in this business to win Oscars. You don't get in this business.
Yeah.
You know, you get in this business because you just want to work. You know,
you
love this business because you want to work. If accolades comes afterwards, it means because this movie resonated with people. It got to the right people. They can make that decision.
So, but how do you get the money? How does Taraji get her quote? How does she get her quote up from Benjamin Buttons? That's what I'm not talking about her being nominated. I'm asking how did she stay working and getting money?
Now, like I said before, that it's not her, because she's not in that position to see. She's not in that position to see what somebody else got. You know, she could be in a position to ask, what are my counterparts, Black or white, getting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's got similar careers as mine, and tell me how I'm getting less or more than them. You know, so she's obviously, no one's going to show her accounting books. That's why, yeah. I mean, you got to have the right team to say, okay, yeah. I can't ask, but you can. You're an agent. You can call up people and find out, what does so-and-so get? We just did the same job. You know, what is she getting? I should get more. I got this amount of body work. I should get more. What does so-and-so get after she got her nomination? You know, look at, you know, not to get off of color, but a couple of years ago, Michelle Williams did a movie where they had to do reshoots, you know, her and Mark Wahlberg. And for the reshoots, Mark Wahlberg got $1 million. Michelle Williams got paid $1,000.
Yeah, I remember.
And she's a four-time nominee.
Yeah, this damn
business.
How
do you give a four-time nominated actress
this damn business? I'm getting frustrated. Okay, so I have to let you go soon. Okay, so I'm really curious. Can you please tell me who's going to win? Who's going to be the big? Give me a couple of TV shows and a couple of movies that you think will be the big favorites during this award season.
During the award season, we've got, with the Emmys coming up, we've got Succession is going to be a big winner. You know, you've got Beef is going to win in the limited series category.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, now what's interesting is, because those votes were handed in October, it'll be interesting to see if Abbott Elementary still had its charm to beat The Bear.
Yeah.
You know, because last year Abbott Elementary was the new kid on the block.
Now, I love The Bear, though.
You know, the Bear has been doing their thing this year. It's either one of those two that's going to come out, you know.
Okay.
On the film side, I believe, you know, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Lily, it's going to be, between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone, who's in a movie called Poor Things. For supporting actor, it could be anywhere from Robert Downey Jr. or Sterling. If the actors who I believe they're going to get nominated, they each have skin in the game. They each have their own fan base. You know, I think for supporting actresses, Davide Joy Randolph has been running away with it so far, but I think we'll see what happens with SAG, see whether or not Danielle Brooks can catch up to her. You know, because at this point last year, Angela Bassett was winning, and then Jamie Lee Curtis won SAG, and the rest was history.
Yeah. Okay. Listen here, Wilson Morales. Thanks for breaking it all down to me. If I was an actress, I'd be incredibly frustrated, but I experienced the same in my business.
But think about it. So at the end of the day, you know, you do what you do, but, you know, I'm sure
I don't do it for awards. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about recognition.
No, but I'm saying, but in terms of money, knowing what you got right now, I'm sure you got a team that negotiated this for you.
Sure, and I always want more, and I don't think they negotiate enough. The same frustrations. That's why Taraji.
Saying, point being, yeah. You're the talent.
I got to get rid of my team. I got to get rid of my team. Is what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. You know, that's your mouth. You know, what I'm saying? I ain't going all out there.
I'm saying that.
You know, but I'm saying point being is like, you know, you have this platform right now, and you got people that watch you. You know, and obviously, you know, it's you know. Whether or not you're producing your own thing, you have more accessibility to figure out what kind of numbers we're doing, how we're doing compared to others, you know, then you can go on there and say, I should get more. If you find out that you're the number one podcast, I'm like, yo, I should be getting more than what this guy's getting. I'm hearing these deals that's coming through, you know, so if it's not you.
And you need somebody on your team that can negotiate that and command that for you, as opposed to being afraid to ask for that.
Yeah. The talent can't do it all. You know, it's hard to be.
The talent can't do it all. Let me just, that's the name of this podcast. Thank you for that, Wilson Morales. I just was like, Taylor can't do it all. That's interesting.
Taylor can't do it all. It's like you're in front of the camera. You know, there's somebody else that's, you know, just recording this and making sure
somebody
it's edited.
Somebody else should be working
whatever.
Hard. Yeah, all this other stuff. You're right. All right. Talk yo for me. Wilson, you are extremely entertaining. Thank you so much. Extremely knowledgeable. Thank you so much for taking the time. Safe travels to California. I'll be there as well. And this podcast, again, will air on Monday so our people can understand a little bit about the world of Hollywood, because it is a very complex situation for those of us who don't understand how it all works. And you made it very, very palpable. Palpable. What is the word? Palpable? Yes, that's the word.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was only going to twist myself. So I'm not going to say it.
Wait, is it palpable? It's palpable. Yes. Thank you so much, Wilson. And you have a safe flight, okay?
Yes. And hopefully I'll see you at some point, whether it be one of these award shows or...
You'll see me in these... You're in New York, right?
Yes, I'm in New York.
You're going to see me in these New York streets. I feel like it's going
to
happen sooner.
I know. You should have been out there on Monday. I went to go see Lyft with Kevin Hart.
I saw my friend Sunny went. She said she loved it.
I took a photo of her. I saw Sunny.
She said it was really entertaining.
It's entertaining. F. Guy Gray, expect no less, you know?
Good for him. Okay. Have a great one.
Take care.
Okay, I have a little list here. Not that it matters, but by the time you listen to this podcast, perhaps the Emmys, which are on Monday, Martin Luther the King holiday, maybe they've already aired. But know that there is still time for you to watch the SAG Awards, which is where other actors vote on other actors' performances. There is still time to watch the Oscars, which happens a little later in a month or so. The nominations will be coming out. I would be really curious to hear your take on some of these films. Some you may not have watched. Some you probably will go back and watch. I always believe that when I talk to my community of friends and people who I meet out and about, we always, it appears, collectively disagree with what the Oscar voters think or what that very special group of people who vote on SAG or perhaps who vote for the Emmys or Critics' Choice Awards. My friends, my peers, my group feels differently than what has been selected. And there's truly a disconnect. It's truly an elite world. Hollywood is an elite town. And if you can break in and break through, good for you. But the way in which Wilson described it on today's podcast lets me know that there is an old guard that protects the gate, that protects the entryway into being the cool kids. And sometimes they just don't want to let you in. Sometimes they feel like you have to pay your dues. Sometimes they don't want you to be too good too soon. But then sometimes your excellence is undeniable. Sometimes you're associated with a project that is a Martin Scorsese project, so you're going to get a lot of attention. Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time in the right film. I can't figure out the formula, and I don't think there is a formula. Back to my original point at the top of this podcast, that's why certain actresses like an Angela Bassett or a Taraji say they're exhausted. there are probably more roles, as mentioned by Wilson, more roles that are more significant for Black and brown men than there are for women. And that also is a problem in Hollywood. You don't hear about a lot of female directors being nominated. You don't hear a lot about women who write being nominated. It's still a very much a man's world. Hopefully that'll change. Hopefully some of that old guard will disappear and they'll bring in a new crop of people who see things differently, who search out different people who are in different projects, who don't look like them, who aren't a part of a cool kids club. That's what I'm hoping for. But in the meantime, I'm truly entertained by all of the projects that are out there. I encourage you to watch all the shows that are being nominated and all of the films that have been nominated, because they really are good overall. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.